DeepEnglish.com.
Phil Libin hasn't eaten in days, but he says he feels euphoric and full of energy. Libin is one of many Silicon Valley executives who swear that regular fasting is changing their lives. He even claims that foregoing food has made him a better CEO. New research supports what Libin says he's experiencing firsthand, that fasting can have very powerful benefits. Reports show that fasting for 3 days at a time can regenerate our immune systems. Fasting also slows aging and reduces the risk of cancer. Dr. Rhonda Patrick says we don't have to go the whole nine yards and eliminate food for days to see the benefits of fasting. Simply eating for a shorter window every day, eating all meals within a 10-hour period, can have similar but less drastic benefits. Describing the first time he fasted, Libin says, "The first day I felt so hungry I was going to die. The second day I was starving, but I woke up on the third day feeling better than I had in 20 years." Libin has fasted anywhere from 2 to 8 days at a time. During fast, he sticks to water, coffee, and black tea, foregoing any other food or drink. Even though he's lost 90 pounds on this new eating regimen, he says for him, it's not about losing weight. Libin says when he fasts, he has more energy, his moods are more stable, and he often feels at least mildly euphoric. Libin's doctor said he looked 25 years younger, and after comparing his before and after blood test results, Libin's doctor said he was fit as a fiddle. Jeff Wu is another Silicon Valley exec that considers fasting a life-changing biohack. Wu fasts for 3 to 4 days quarterly and for 36 hours weekly. He feels so good he led his entire company in a fast, in part because he believes that fasting increases productivity. In Silicon Valley, fasters are a dime a dozen. So many people have gotten into the fasting fad that there are now groups who meet up for special breakfasts where they break their fast together and share their first meal in days. While supporters of fasting seem to be growing daily, some doctors say there isn't enough evidence for these claims and that new findings should be taken with a grain of salt. Women should be especially cautious because caloric intake is closely linked to a woman's fertility and reproductive health. Despite concerns from some health professionals, people like Libin and Wu believe that fasting is the key to health, longevity, and productivity.
DeepEnglish.com.
Phil Libin hasn't eaten in days, but he says he feels euphoric and full of energy. Libin is one of many Silicon Valley executives who swear that regular fasting is changing their lives. He even claims that foregoing food has made him a better CEO. New research supports what Libin says he's experiencing firsthand, that fasting can have very powerful benefits. Reports show that fasting for 3 days at a time can regenerate our immune systems. Fasting also slows aging and reduces the risk of cancer. Dr. Rhonda Patrick says we don't have to go the whole nine yards and eliminate food for days to see the benefits of fasting. Simply eating for a shorter window every day, eating all meals within a 10-hour period, can have similar but less drastic benefits. Describing the first time he fasted, Libin says, "The first day I felt so hungry I was going to die. The second day I was starving, but I woke up on the third day feeling better than I had in 20 years." Libin has fasted anywhere from 2 to 8 days at a time. During fast, he sticks to water, coffee, and black tea, foregoing any other food or drink. Even though he's lost 90 pounds on this new eating regimen, he says for him, it's not about losing weight. Libin says when he fasts, he has more energy, his moods are more stable, and he often feels at least mildly euphoric. Libin's doctor said he looked 25 years younger, and after comparing his before and after blood test results, Libin's doctor said he was fit as a fiddle. Jeff Wu is another Silicon Valley exec that considers fasting a life-changing biohack. Wu fasts for 3 to 4 days quarterly and for 36 hours weekly. He feels so good, he led his entire company in a fast, in part because he believes that fasting increases productivity. In Silicon Valley, fasters are a dime a dozen. So many people have gotten into the fasting fad that there are now groups who meet up for special breakfasts, where they break their fast together and share their first meal in days. While supporters of fasting seem to be growing daily, some doctors say there isn't enough evidence for these claims and that new findings should be taken with a grain of salt. Women should be especially cautious because caloric intake is closely linked to a woman's fertility and reproductive health. Despite concerns from some health professionals, people like Libin and Wu believe that fasting is the key to health, longevity, and productivity.
DeepEnglish.com.
Phil Libin hasn't eaten in days, but he says he feels euphoric and full of energy. Libin is one of many Silicon Valley executives who swear that regular fasting is changing their lives. He even claims that foregoing food has made him a better CEO. New research supports what Libin says he's experiencing firsthand, that fasting can have very powerful benefits. Reports show that fasting for 3 days at a time can regenerate our immune systems. Fasting also slows aging and reduces the risk of cancer. Dr. Rhonda Patrick says we don't have to go the whole nine yards and eliminate food for days to see the benefits of fasting. Simply eating for a shorter window every day, eating all meals within a 10-hour period, can have similar but less drastic benefits. Describing the first time he fasted, Libin says, "The first day I felt so hungry I was going to die. The second day I was starving, but I woke up on the third day feeling better than I had in 20 years." Libin has fasted anywhere from 2 to 8 days at a time. During fast, he sticks to water, coffee, and black tea, foregoing any other food or drink. Even though he's lost 90 pounds on this new eating regimen, he says for him, it's not about losing weight. Libin says when he fasts, he has more energy, his moods are more stable, and he often feels at least mildly euphoric. Libin's doctor said he looked 25 years younger, and after comparing his before and after blood test results, Libin's doctor said he was fit as a fiddle. Jeff Wu is another Silicon Valley exec that considers fasting a life-changing biohack. Wu fasts for 3 to 4 days quarterly and for 36 hours weekly. He feels so good, he led his entire company in a fast, in part because he believes that fasting increases productivity. In Silicon Valley, fasters are a dime a dozen. So many people have gotten into the fasting fad that there are now groups who meet up for special breakfasts, where they break their fast together and share their first meal in days. While supporters of fasting seem to be growing daily, some doctors say there isn't enough evidence for these claims and that new findings should be taken with a grain of salt. Women should be especially cautious because caloric intake is closely linked to a woman's fertility and reproductive health. Despite concerns from some health professionals, people like Libin and Wu believe that fasting is the key to health, longevity, and productivity.
Plunging temperatures have brought significant travel disruption across Europe, with dozens of flights cancelled to and from the United Kingdom. People travelling today through Stansted, Gatwick and Heathrow airports are being urged to check for more delays and suspended flights, as Azadeh Mashiri reports.
A snowy European winter may sound romantic. The holiday season feels closer. Landscapes change as rivers turn to ice. And the time comes for sleigh rides and the chance to build snowmen.
I just heard my sister scream, it's snowing, so I like looked outside and then I just saw it was actually snowing, so we just put on everything and went outside to have some fun.
But it's not all fun and games. Ice and freezing fog have swept over the United Kingdom. Officials are urging people in southeast England to avoid driving. And it's causing chaos at airports. Heathrow cancelled and delayed dozens of flights this weekend. Gatwick and Stansted Airport cancelled all of them altogether Sunday evening. Some countries, like Poland, are dealing with snowstorms and blizzards. Rescuers are warning visitors to simply stay away.
Wysokości 1600 metrów jest drugi stopień zagrożenia lawinowego.
From 1,600 metres above sea level, there is a second-degree avalanche danger. The biggest problem in moving around is primarily the lack of visibility. The fog is very thick, and it's also very difficult for us to assess this avalanche risk.
Forecasters warn this weather could go on for days across various parts of Europe. That means more disruptions and biting cold during an energy crisis. All this could make for a costly winter. Azadeh Mashiri, BBC News.
Well, London's airports are facing massive disruption. Travel journalist Simon Calder gave me the latest from Heathrow Airport.
London is by far the busiest aviation hub in the world, not just here at London Heathrow Airport, but also at Gatwick, Luton, Stansted and London City. And I'm afraid every single one of those airports is suffering extreme problems. We've got round about 80 cancellations in and out of London Heathrow so far. These are all planned for Monday morning because the airport is going to be operating at reduced capacity. Across at Gatwick Airport, second busiest in the UK, we saw masses of flights cancelled yesterday, and already today I'm counting round about 50 departures and arrivals, mostly on EasyJet, but also on Wizz Air and British Airways. Stansted Airport closed last night, as a lot of passengers will know, because they've woken up in places such as Brussels and Cologne in Germany, having been diverted overnight. It is now running, but with some cancellations. And then Luton Airport got many, many cancellations in and out of there. I've counted around two dozen. Finally, London City Airport, which is really the business airport in the east of the capital. That, well, the schedules are looking pretty bleak there.
Plunging temperatures have brought significant travel disruption across Europe, with dozens of flights cancelled to and from the United Kingdom. People travelling today through Stansted, Gatwick and Heathrow airports are being urged to check for more delays and suspended flights, as Azadeh Mashiri reports.
A snowy European winter may sound romantic. The holiday season feels closer. Landscapes change as rivers turn to ice. And the time comes for sleigh rides and the chance to build snowmen.
I just heard my sister scream, it's snowing, so I like looked outside and then I just saw it was actually snowing, so we just put on everything and went outside to have some fun.
But it's not all fun and games. Ice and freezing fog have swept over the United Kingdom. Officials are urging people in southeast England to avoid driving. And it's causing chaos at airports. Heathrow cancelled and delayed dozens of flights this weekend. Gatwick and Stansted Airport cancelled all of them altogether Sunday evening. Some countries, like Poland, are dealing with snowstorms and blizzards. Rescuers are warning visitors to simply stay away.
From 1,600 meters above sea level, there is a second-degree avalanche danger. The biggest problem in moving around is primarily the lack of visibility. The fog is very thick, and it's also very difficult for us to assess this avalanche risk.
Forecasters warn this weather could go on for days across various parts of Europe. That means more disruptions and biting cold during an energy crisis. All this could make for a costly winter. Azadeh Mashiri, BBC News.
Well, London's airports are facing massive disruption. Travel journalist Simon Calder gave me the latest from Heathrow Airport.
London is by far the busiest aviation hub in the world, not just here at London Heathrow Airport, but also at Gatwick, Luton, Stansted and London City. And I'm afraid every single one of those airports is suffering extreme problems. We've got round about 80 cancellations in and out of London Heathrow so far. These are all planned for Monday morning because the airport is going to be operating at reduced capacity. Across at Gatwick Airport, second busiest in the UK, we saw masses of flights cancelled yesterday, and already today I'm counting round about 50 departures and arrivals, mostly on EasyJet, but also on Wizz Air and British Airways. Stansted Airport closed last night, as a lot of passengers will know, because they've woken up in places such as Brussels and Cologne in Germany, having been diverted overnight. It is now running, but with some cancellations. And then Luton Airport got many, many cancellations in and out of there. I've counted around two dozen. Finally, London City Airport, which is really the business airport in the east of the capital. That, well, the schedules are looking pretty bleak there.
Plunging temperatures have brought significant travel disruption across Europe, with dozens of flights cancelled to and from the United Kingdom. People travelling today through Stansted, Gatwick and Heathrow airports are being urged to check for more delays and suspended flights, as Azadeh Mashiri reports.
A snowy European winter may sound romantic. The holiday season feels closer. Landscapes change as rivers turn to ice. And the time comes for sleigh rides and the chance to build snowmen.
I just heard my sister scream, it's snowing, so we like looked outside and then I just saw it was actually snowing, so we just grabbed, put on everything and went outside to have some fun.
But it's not all fun and games. Ice and freezing fog have swept over the United Kingdom. Officials are urging people in southeast England to avoid driving. And it's causing chaos at airports. Heathrow cancelled and delayed dozens of flights this weekend. Gatwick and Stansted Airport cancelled all of them altogether Sunday evening. Some countries, like Poland, are dealing with snowstorms and blizzards. Rescuers are warning visitors to simply stay away.
Wysokości 1600 metrów jest drugi stopień zagrożenia lawinowego.
From 1,600 metres above sea level, there is a second-degree avalanche danger. The biggest problem in moving around is primarily the lack of visibility. The fog is very thick, and it's also very difficult for us to assess this avalanche risk.
Forecasters warn this weather could go on for days across various parts of Europe. That means more disruptions and biting cold during an energy crisis. All this could make for a costly winter. Azadeh Mashiri, BBC News.
Well, London's airports are facing massive disruption. Travel journalist Simon Calder gave me the latest from Heathrow Airport.
London is by far the busiest aviation hub in the world, not just here at London Heathrow Airport, but also at Gatwick, Luton, Stansted and London City. And I'm afraid every single one of those airports is suffering extreme problems. We've got round about 80 cancellations in and out of London Heathrow so far. These are all planned for Monday morning because the airport is going to be operating at reduced capacity. Across at Gatwick Airport, second busiest in the UK, we saw masses of flights cancelled yesterday, and already today I'm counting round about 50 departures and arrivals, mostly on EasyJet, but also on Wizz Air and British Airways. Stansted Airport closed last night, as a lot of passengers will know, because they've woken up in places such as Brussels and Cologne in Germany, having been diverted overnight. It is now running, but with some cancellations. And then Luton Airport got many, many cancellations in and out of there. I've counted around two dozen. Finally, London City Airport, which is really the business airport in the east of the capital. That, well, the schedules are looking pretty bleak there.
Newton Abbott is a town that was built on the prosperity of the railway being brought through by Great Western Railways through to this part of the country and then down onto New Cornwall, which opened it up. Up till that point, people didn't come down here very easily. The travelling was very difficult. But in the Victorian period, the railway came this far, and Newton Abbott was particularly important because they had the big workshops for the maintenance of the railway and the engines and repairs. And based on that prosperity that the railway brought, they built an enormous amount of the houses in the town. So if you look around the town, on Walborough Hill, for example, you find the very big houses with big gardens, room for staff, etc. And then along East Street, which is on the left-hand side, it's on a very steep hill, there are rows and rows of terrace houses there. And some terrace houses are bigger and smarter, and they were built for the middle management, if you like. And then there were some others that were built more modestly for the workers. And so the town, you can see the different levels of the work or the earnings and the class of the different people in the different houses. And that's really most of the building in Newton Abbott was done in that period. We also have a very nice building that was done by someone called Passmore, and it's the local library, but it's been used for adult education, and that's a very nice building. But generally, in the 60s and 70s, the centre of the town was demolished and rebuilt, and we now have the most hideous car park in the centre of the town. I have to say, it's awful. But the pedestrian area where the shops are, that's really quite nice now. But it has all been based on the wealth brought by the railways in the Victorian period, late Victorian. Okay. Newton Abbott is a town that was built on the prosperity of the railway being brought through by Great Western Railways through to this part of the country and then down onto New Cornwall, which opened it up. Up till that point, people didn't come down here very easily. The travelling was very difficult. But in the Victorian period, the railway came this far, and Newton Abbott was particularly important because they had the big workshops for the maintenance of the railway and the engines and repairs. And based on that prosperity that the railway brought, they built an enormous amount of the houses in the town. So if you look around the town, on Walborough Hill, for example, you find the very big houses with big gardens, room for staff, etc. And then along East Street, which is on the left-hand side, it's on a very steep hill, there are rows and rows of terrace houses there. And some terrace houses are bigger and smarter, and they were built for the middle management, if you like. And then there were some others that were built more modestly for the workers. And so the town, you can see the different levels of the work or the earnings and the class of the different people in the different houses. And that's really most of the building in Newton Abbott was done in that period. We also have a very nice building that was done by someone called Passmore, and it's the local library, but it's been used for adult education, and that's a very nice building. But generally, in the 60s and 70s, the centre of the town was demolished and rebuilt, and we now have the most hideous car park in the centre of the town. I have to say, it's awful. But the pedestrian area where the shops are, that's really quite nice now. But it has all been based on the wealth brought by the railways in the Victorian period, late Victorian. Okay. Newton Abbott is a town that was built on the prosperity of the railway being brought through by Great Western Railways through to this part of the country and then down onto New Cornwall, which opened it up. Up till that point, people didn't come down here very easily. The travelling was very difficult. But in the Victorian period, the railway came this far, and Newton Abbott was particularly important because they had the big workshops for the maintenance of the railway and the engines and repairs. And based on that prosperity that the railway brought, they built an enormous amount of the houses in the town. So if you look around the town, on Walborough Hill, for example, you find the very big houses with big gardens, room for staff, etc. And then along East Street, which is on the left-hand side, it's on a very steep hill, there are rows and rows of terrace houses there. And some terrace houses are bigger and smarter, and they were built for the middle management, if you like. And then there were some others that were built more modestly for the workers. And so the town, you can see the different levels of the work or the earnings and the class of the different people in the different houses. And that's really most of the building in Newton Abbot was done in that period. We also have a very nice building that was done by someone called Passmore, and it's the local library, but it's being used for adult education, and that's a very nice building. But generally in the 60s and 70s the centre of the town was demolished and rebuilt, and we now have the most hideous car park in the centre of the town. I have to say it's awful. But the pedestrian area where the shops are, that's really quite nice now. But it has all been based on the wealth brought by the railways in the Victorian period, late Victorian. Okay.